talked vegetables. We've talked lawn. We haven't talked fruit trees.
No, we haven't. Citrus, great time to do citrus. If you've got a patio or a small house, consider a dwarf citrus. Same exact navel orange or lemon or lime, just graft it onto a dwarfing rootstock so it doesn't get so big. But planting citrus in October, early November is a fabulous time to do it. Deciduous fruit trees, be a good time to plant them. Sometimes it's hard to find the selection because they all come in typically in the wintertime. But, yeah, great time to be doing all that.
On your citrus, if you want fruit for next season, you've got to look for a little bit more of a mature one. That's not a plant that produces on new growth.
Yeah, but sometimes even that, it takes a couple. Citrus are a little bit funny. Sometimes even if you plant a great big one, it takes a couple of years to get much fruit. So, you know, if you think you're going to buy an extra year of fruit by buying a bigger tree, that doesn't always work out.
Mm-hmm. And then when you're doing a bigger tree, that's not something that most people have the equipment to dig, unless you just want to be digging all day, a 24-inch box tree. I mean, you can't pick that up by yourself. You can't pick that up with two people a lot of times.
Yeah, and at my age, it sometimes takes three now. Then you got to get it down in the hole. And, you know, I mean, so it's something to consider. For citrus, it takes a couple years anyway, planting a size that you can, unless you're going to have somebody do it for you, which is fine. But if you're going to do it yourself, plant one you can handle and do it right, because you're really not gaining that much by going to that bigger size.
Fruit tree, it's, you say it all the time, the fall, there's almost nothing you can't do.
Pretty much. You know, we'll have to start watching as we get into November, things, the tender things like bougainvilleas and hibiscus. But other than that, it just gains you, and I know we beat this to death, but it gains you almost a whole year ahead, head start, by planting just a few months early in the fall. And every year we get, in October, we get people that have been gone all summer. They come back. They're replacing plants that they planted in the spring because they had a, you know, they just didn't get established well enough. And we have, seems like, hotter summers all the time, and they just get whacked, and they're replacing stuff. You get them in now, they're nice and established before the heat hits next summer, and you're being a lot better shape.
Let's go to Mickey in the East Valley. He wants to talk oleanders. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Hello. Sir.
I planted about 85 oleanders along a fence line and about 3 years ago. And the first 10 to 12 in the row just haven't seemed to take off, but the rest of them are over 6 feet tall. I was wondering if you kind of give me some kind of insight to where, what could it be different in the soil that's causing that?
Well, it could be a lot of things. They look okay. They just haven't grown as much. I mean, they're not burnt or
disease
looking.
Okay. The stalk is getting thicker, but it's not growing at any height. And it's just... And as you go back, they just gradually get taller and taller. So it's the first ones have just never really taken off. I'm wondering if the soil could be too alkaline or acidy or something that's causing that.
Well, oleanders will grow in pretty crummy soil, and they'll grow in soil that's fairly alkaline. So I don't think that's a big issue. But are they at the – where your water source originated from, are they at the end of the water source or the beginning of the water source?
They're at the beginning.
So the water comes from that direction coming down your – you have them on a drip line?
Yep.
Have you checked the actual drippers at that end to make sure they're delivering as much water as the other ones are? Have you actually kind of looked at them and measured it?
I've never measured it, but I can always see a pool of water around them when the timer is set off and put water to them, the ground.
So it looks wet. It looks like they're getting. Does it look wetter than the other ones? I mean, it could be that they're getting too much, I suppose.
No, I've pulled the water back to where I see the rest of the line or the rest of the plants where you start seeing the leaves wilt a little bit. So I've gone to where I've thought maybe I'm giving them too much water. I thought, well, I'm not giving them enough. So okay. I don't really.
And oleanders will take a lot of water, too. I mean, so it's pretty hard to overwater them. I would probably get some good tree and shrub fertilizer, a good slow release kind of a fertilizer. Fertilome makes a good one. Organo makes a good one. If you want to go, liquid, the biofeed, you know, it might be a good candidate for putting one of those biofeed injector systems in. But, you know, getting a little more nutrients, a little fertilizer on those might help. There's always a possibility. I don't think this is the case, but and it probably doesn't make sense that they would be just the first five or six that would have been, but you could have gotten some dwarf oleanders. We've had that happen before where somebody got a few of those mixed in and they got mixed up. I mean, that's a possibility, but you would think it'd be more random than that if that was the case. It wouldn't just be the first few. So I'd try the fertilizer route and see if that doesn't help a bit.
And no matter what you do, they're not all going to be perfectly the same size, grow the same. Rosie's dad's backyard, a screen of oleanders, and I trimmed them
right
for many, many years. And there was always this one here and that one there never grew as big or as green as full, and they all got the same
water. And we didn't
water.
Talk about the actual soil. So it could be there's some caliche there. There could be a pocket of hard soil there. You dig holes for 70 oleanders, and I guarantee you every hole didn't dig the same. The soil was different in a number of places. Some will dig real easy, some will dig real hard. So you'd have to kind of go back and remember, when I was planting those, did it seem harder to dig? If it stays wetter, maybe it's not percolating. You might have some caliche in the soil there. That's a distinct possibility. If that's the case, maybe some sulfur, some gypsum, a product called alkaliche. Try and open that soil up a little bit if you can. Might not be a bad idea.
We appreciate the call. There's no way to know if he accidentally got a dwarf one. You would just have to...
You'd know by the flower if they flowered, probably. They're a different color, typically, than standard oleanders. So,
we received an email this week from Connie in Tucson wanting to know if we had that oleander borer that hit Central Phoenix pretty hard.
Oh, the scorch, the disease
in
Tucson?
Any reports of that? Because she's in Tucson and wanted to know if that's what's hitting her oleanders because they're looking a little...
Honestly, I don't know. I have not heard. I don't know. So I haven't heard of it moving much past out of the kind of north central Phoenix, maybe into Arcadia a little bit area, honestly. So, I mean, it's entirely possible, but I haven't heard reports.
Okay. Well, it'll be a little research project for this week or somebody listening that would know.
One of our Tucson folks or one nurseries down there would chime in.
Well, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Where Dan is in Tucson, speaking of that, wants to talk citrus, but that oleander disease, what was it? The white flies on ficus. You know, that was going to be the next thing that was going to end all ficus, and haven't heard much about that lately.
Not this year. Last year, about this time, it was a real issue, but haven't seen it. And a lot of times, that's how those things go. You know, nature kind of takes care of it, or they run their course. Plants become a little more resistant to something. You never know. And they could pop up again any time. So, you know, talking about insects, though, and we didn't talk about this in the vegetable garden and certain plants, that because of this little warmer lasting October, we're seeing lots of caterpillar damage on things, lots of stuff chewing on your vegetables and certain plants in your landscape. So kind of be attentive to that.
Be ready with some Captain Jacks. Let's bring Dan from Tucson into the program. Welcome, sir.
Morning, guys. You there?
Yeah, we're listening. We're ready.
Oh, all right. Well, this is my first time doing this. I got a bunch of cuttings from my friend's Meyer lemon tree. So I watched the video. You know, I trimmed them down. I cut the top leaf. I put them in rooting hormone. I did the whole thing. I put bags on top of the little planters and with a rubber band. They've been in a tray. I'm watering them like every 4 or 5 days or whatever. Anyways, it's been maybe 2 months, and they have leaves. They all sprouted. It's great. When do I take the bags off and either transplant them or when can I put them in direct sunlight? Because the other day I took one of the bags off, I put it in direct sunlight, and the leaves really started withering, and I immediately put the bag back on, and I don't know when to do the whole transplant thing. And
so what did you root them in? Are they in pots, or how? Where are they?
Yeah, they're in small pots.
Okay.
And I used just basic potting soil.
Okay.
I just trimmed the bottom off.
Have you pulled one out to just see how much root is on them?
No, I haven't, because I'm, you know, I don't want to disturb them.
Well, there's not much other way to find out. Have you got a? How many do you have?
Five.
Okay. You know, you can sometimes you can just kind of tug at it. If it doesn't come out real easy, you know it's got some roots.
Okay.
Sometimes you can look at the bottom of the pot, and you know, roots will start showing. What kind of pot are they in?
Those little mini clay pots.
Sometimes you can tap them. If you're careful, you can just tap it out of the pot. It'll come out, you know, as a root ball, and you can check for roots. I'd kind of check for the roots first and
okay,
see
so
if they...
Meaning the more roots that are established, the...
Well, it has to have some roots, period, before you want to transplant it into something bigger or something else. The other thing is you probably need to keep them in a shady spot. If you're going to take that plastic that you've kind of encapsulated them in to hold some humidity and moisture around the stems, you know, that's also another reason to make sure it's got roots so it can absorb enough moisture to keep those leaves from drying out. Keep it in a shady spot, but make sure it's got roots or is well rooted in that pot that it's in before you go to the next size pot.
Typical stuff at the nursery, not something that most homeowners try and tackle.
Well, and normally, yeah, with citrus, most citrus are budded or grafted onto a rootstock of another citrus, like a sour orange or a rough lemon or, you know, if you want a dwarfing rootstock, there's different ones. But don't normally grow too many citrus for cuttings, although some folks are starting to grow sour or ornamental orange from cutting instead of from seed. So it's possible. It's just, yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, propagation is as much art as it is science, and guys take lots of cuttings and have lots of failures before they figure out how to do it, and it's one of those things you kind of have to just do a bunch of till you figure it out.
One of our text messages here waiting in queue is, can you graft two different fruits onto one dwarf tree?
Well, two different fruit, you could graft two different kinds of citrus onto one tree. You could graft an apple and a pear onto it. They're, you know, so they have to be related.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take an apple and a citrus and graft them together. I don't think that's what they're asking about, but sure, they do. They bud or graft or multiple bud citrus all the time and fruit trees all the time. So
the nurseries usually call them cocktail.
A cocktail tree. We're not big advocates of that because
and
typically you get
most
one limb or that limb dies and you don't have it. If you really want several varieties and you don't have enough space, I think the best solution to that is plant what we call three or four trees in one hole. You can literally plant a clump of citrus, especially dwarf citrus. It works great. You end up with a multi-trunked citrus tree that then you have a third or a fourth or whatever of that particular variety at your disposal.